In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christos
anesti.
Christ ha resuscitato. In verdad resuscitato. There you go. Can you, in the back there, can you hear me okay? People in the front, I'm sorry, I'm not angry, I'm just projecting my voice. Before I start, I don't know about y'all, but when we hear the gospel or scriptures being read, there's always something new that pops out. And anyway, many of us have been reading the scriptures for a long time, right? And so something to think about is where Christ told the disciples today, you are reaping where you have not sown. Someone else has sown that seed. Who was that? And I was listening, well, who is he talking about? So I got to go back and look that up. But today we are faced with something, a very kind of a sensitive subject, divorce, right? I think pretty much everyone here has been impacted by divorce in some way. You have a relative who's been divorced. You've gone through it yourself. Maybe you have a sibling or your parents or somebody has been divorced, right? No matter how much we know about divorce in our lives or in our modern society, it is nothing like what divorce was in the time of Christ, right? We look in the 19th chapter of Matthew. And they ask him, what do we do for, what do you think about divorce? And he says, well, what did Moses tell you? And he says, well, issue them your wife a certificate of divorce, yada, yada. And he said, but because of the hardness of your hearts, he has told you this. But I tell you, this is not the way it should be. From the very beginning, he made them, male and female. So in the time of Christ, women couldn't divorce men. Men could divorce their wife for any reason. Just write them a certificate, you're on your way. Right? So now we think about this as we consider the Samaritan woman today. She had married 5 times. And the man that she was with, she wasn't married to. Probably not by her choice, right? Meaning that all of those divorces were not her choice. For some reason, that guy was like, I really don't like the way you make breakfast. I'm just going to divorce and go get someone else. And she's like, well, hold on a minute, And honestly, when we think about this in the time of Christ, and we look at Joachim and Anna, why Joachim and Anna were so beautiful was because Anna could not give him children, and yet he remained faithful to her, and out of his faithfulness, both to his wife and to God, the Theotokos was born, right? And so you have this woman today standing by the well who had been abandoned by 5 different men, cast aside, pushed out. They don't want her in their life. Go find someone else. And the guy she ended up with wouldn't even show her the dignity of marrying her so that she could have protection under the law and, be under his household. And we also know, too, that she came to the well at the 6th hour. Does anybody know when that is, approximately? It's like noon, yes. Whoever said that, good job. So she's in there in the middle of the day. Why in the middle of the day? No one else was there. It was commonplace for women or whoever would get the water, usually the woman, would go and get the water in the morning, and they'd have water throughout the day, and then the evenings have water throughout the night. Plus, it's cooler in the morning, and it's cooler in the evening. So she was going to that well when no one else was there. Very likely, she was ashamed. It's very likely she was embarrassed by her position in life, that 5 men had abandoned her and pushed her away, and the only guy she could find wouldn't even marry her, and she was an outcast, and I'm sure when she went there in the morning with the ladies, they were not so nice to her. People can be mean. So here she is at the bottom. This woman is at the bottom of her life. She has nothing. She doesn't even have a husband. He's just given her a place to live. But then something amazing happens. And that moment of shame when she's going there in the heat of the day to get water, to haul and do her work in the middle of the day so she won't be heckled and treated badly by the other women, she finds someone. She finds the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And in that moment, she found something she had never experienced before in her life. And that is love. She experienced love. He He offered her the living water of whom he is, right? When we say that God loves us, it's not an affection. I mentioned this last week. We have absolutely mutilated the word love in our society. It's a good feeling. We like that person. They make us feel good. We want something from them. We want to be around them because they make us feel good. But when we talk about the love of God, which is agape love, which is a love of self-sacrifice, of pouring oneself out for the sake of the other, which is perfectly, well, he'll be up there in a little while. But anyhow, it is on the cross. You know, Christ hanging on the cross is love. That is love. You want to know what love is? Look at the cross. It is God become flesh so that in the flesh he might die, so he might kill death so that we might live. What does he get from all that? We get everything from that. He suffers. He dies. He rises from the dead so that we might live, so that we might be with him because he loves us. And he wants us to be with him. And this is what she encountered in Christ at that well when she went out there by herself in the heat of the day. He offered himself to her, the living water. And I can say with all confidence, the world does not love you. It doesn't. Your job, as great as it is, does not love you. Your new car, or truck, because I like trucks, but does not love you. Your favorite thing, your favorite restaurant, your favorite drink, your favorite whatever it is, your favorite pair of shoes, do not love you. You can love them and you can pour yourself out for that thing or that job or that education or that thing. It will never, ever, ever love you back. It'd be like those five husbands. It will abandon you at some point. And I know this because I have sat with too many people as they die, and none of that stuff was there with them. All their friends, all their coworkers, all their degrees, all their greatness. They can't drive. They can't sew. They can't golf. They can't do anything but lie there in the presence of God to prepare to meet him face to face. He loves them. The world does not love us, but God, in fact, loves us and has revealed his love to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. The world will take everything from you and leave you alone to get water in the middle of the day at the well by yourself. But while the world abandons us, Christ meets us. He meets us at the well and says, I offer you myself as living water. Where all other men have abandoned her, and the last man wouldn't even accept her, Christ welcomes her with warm and open arms. And it's because what he offers her is not some temporal thing. It's not something that you can calculate, something you can put on a Hallmark card. He does not offer us that. He offers us the mystery of his love that is eternal, that existed long before we ever existed. The love that he has for us is eternal. It was there before we were, and it'll be there long into eternity as we share eternity with him. And I will say this about God. I know every one of you here is loved because you're here. All of us, every human being, even those in this temple today, we are all loved into existence. It is his love that brought us into existence, that formulated us in the womb of our mother and brought us here today. You are loved with that love. So, who are you going to love back? Who are you going to love? You're going to love the world? You're going to love power, money, prestige? Are you going to love those things? Are you going to waste your time? Or are you going to try to love God? And I say this in the words of St. Herman. He has that in his icon, from this day, from this very moment forth, let us love God above all else, right? Well, before that, the rest of that, is him talking to a bunch of Russian sailors on a boat, and he says, none of us here can say we truly love God. But from this moment, from this very day forward, right? That's where the rest of the quote comes from. And so as we find ourselves trying to love God, we will constantly find ourselves failing. Lord, I want to love you, but I can't, because all of us are empty wells. You know, I want to love someone, and I can't because I don't have love. I'm nothing. I'm an empty vessel. I'm a walking tomb, you know, I'm dead on the inside. He talked about the Pharisees being whitewashed tombs and how they're dead on the inside. And we are all that person. We are all the Pharisees. And what makes us gives us hope and what gives us salvation is that we don't want to be that. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be like Christ, and I want to love. And what I offer him, the only thing I have to offer him, I don't have any talent, I don't have any knowledge, I don't have any strength, I don't have any love, I don't have any mercy, I don't have any forgiveness at all, I'm completely empty. All I have for God is my desire to be like him. And so I run to him and I fall at his feet and I say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me and fill me with your love. Fill me with your grace. Fill me with your forgiveness. I cannot forgive, but you can forgive. And so help me forgive. You are strength. The Lord is my strength and my song. Whom shall I fear? And what he does, he fills us with those things. He fills us up. We're no longer empty vessels anymore. We're not empty wells with meaningless, pointless lives where we just go through stuffing our faces with food and drink and looking for the next pleasure. We know we find true meaning and we find life. We find eternal life. And we choose to love God back with what he gives us. And we choose to love him because he first loved us. And we become full. We become full wells of water. We are full of water, his water, the water of his love, the water of his life, the water of his being, to be, to really exist, not just be the shell of this empty thing wandering through life looking for the next pleasure. And it's more than just filled with water. You know, there's two types of water identified in Scripture. There's standing water, like a pond or a puddle or a lake, and then there's living water. And you notice that Christ tells you, out of you will flow living water. That's like a spring or a river or a creek or something that's moving, right? The pool of Bethesda, where the paralytic was fed by a stream, right? It was full of living water. And he wants us to be that. That's what he's offering us. He doesn't want you to be stagnant, full of this good stuff. He wants you to give you the good things and for you to go out and share them with everyone else because you are alive. You're full of living water. Go into the world and preach the gospel. And if necessary, use words. So we choose to love God back so that he might fill us with his love and fill us with his life. And how do we do this? Well, first of all, spend time with him. Spend time with Christ. Don't just go into your corner, you know. Think about him. Reach out to him in your heart and say, Lord, I want to love you today. You can do this everywhere you are. The prayer corner is that focus. You know, you do your prayers. Do your prayers. But no matter where you are, reach out to Christ. Lord, I want to love you today, and I want to do your holy will. I want to obey your commandments, and I want to love you above all else. Reach out to him in your heart. Say your prayers. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Do your best to obey his commandments. What are the commandments? It's kind of a catch-22. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Well, what are your commandments? To love me and to love your neighbor. Pour yourself out for one another. Pour yourself out for God. Seek to do his holy will in all things. Strive every day to love God and to love one another above all else. We use things, we love people. We don't use people and love things. We give ourselves for each other. And in doing so, we love God. And this is the glorious thing, is that as the path of salvation is this, that God implants a seed in us by his grace, and then we work with him to grow that into a mighty tree, to a mighty river that flows out of us into the world. And I will say, I don't know any of y'all very well. I'm not a saint, but I don't want to become a saint. I want to become like Christ. I want to become like Christ. When people see me, when they talk to me, I want them to see Christ in me and say, that man's a Christian, without me having to say a word, without having to show my cross. So, love God. Live in the world, but love God above all else. Live as a traveler, as a sojourner in a strange land. This world is not your home. God has an eternal kingdom of which we are called into. Live in that kingdom every day. Love one another. Give for one another. Forgive. And when you can't forgive, ask God to give you the forgiveness that you don't have. And he will give it to you. As he promised the woman today at the well, out of you will flow living waters. And I'll say this one last thing. It's beautiful. He says, "You, the water you will drink and never thirst from again." And do you know why you'll never thirst again? Because the water will be coming out of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen.